Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family. We chose this one. This is episode 56, Pit Stop Brick Mansions from 2014. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by the Maine School of Masonry, Building Futures. The art of masonry is tragically becoming a lost skill in time when the demand for masons is incredibly high. The Maine School of Masonry is changing that by teaching new generations in the craftsmanship of masonry. Did you get your trowel?
I would love to see someone parse through your Google search history and be like, why is he trying to learn all these things and not follow through on any of them?
Story of my life. It's probably not far off of what I'm actually doing, to be honest.
Very possible, very possible. We are here. I did get my trowel. Did you get your trowel?
Yeah, I did. Have you tried it?
No, I don't. I haven't learned how to mason.
You didn't
until
build a brick mansion?
I did not build a brick mansion. Unfortunately, there are no dead bodies in the walls here that RZA is putting up. I mean, there are dead bodies in this movie, but he is not, you know, closing any of them up within walls, unfortunately.
True.
Today's movie is continuing the Brian O'Connor lap. This is also, importantly, the pick
Patreon
from
pick.
Ben Milliman, patron yeah. pick over on patreon.com/toofasttoforever. If you over there join at the $10 level or above, you get to pick one movie a year for us to watch.
You too can pick a movie to
you
watch.
You too can pick a movie. And so Ben picked this one. And we also talked about recently that Jake would have picked this one. So this is kind of going out to both of them. So thank you both for supporting us over there. We've got a little bit more news about that coming up shortly. In the news segment. Before we get there, extracurricular activities. Joe, I know you've had a rather full weekend since we last recorded, so why don't you hit us with that?
I actually went back to Pittsburgh this weekend. We went to the Penguins game on Saturday. They played the Oilers and lost in overtime. It was actually a really good game, though. It was only 2-1, but the Penguins had like 50 shots, so it was like very exciting. I somehow managed to get the exact seats that were my season tickets. Seats, like somebody was selling them. So I had to sit in my old seats, which is incredible to me. Hang with my parents. And then we went to the Steelers game on Sunday. That was fun. Watch Adam Vinatieri miss the game-winning field goal.
What a gentleman.
I was like, oh, it's Vinatieri. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's sitting there like, Adam Vinatieri, most money kicker of all time.
Well, he's had a rough year. I don't know if you've been following, but he was bad for like 3 games, then he was good again for 4 games, and now he's like really bad again. And that kick to lose the game, oh boy, that was a doozy.
I know, but
that kick was as good as Zach's kicks.
It absolutely was. But he's kicking into like the open end of Heinz Field. Like, if you know anything about Heinz Field, it's open on one end, so the wind blows off the water. And it was very windy that day, so we're like, we got a shot here. You know what I mean? Like, we're all kind of like, we're not gonna say it, but we're all thinking like, there's a little bit of a chance here. It's like 42 yards. He had like a kind of wiggly one earlier, and he missed it, and we went nuts. And then we just went to the casino and got drunk and came home Monday morning.
Very, very cool. What did I do on Saturday? Oh, I went down to... I just saw the lighthouse again, which was very exciting. And then I went to hang out with Chris Podcast, past guest of this show.
Yes.
Some of his friends, who have now become my friends, had a Halloween party. And so we went over there, and then I went over there, and I met up Chris there and a bunch of the friends. And then we played some rock band, and I came home. But it's been low-key week. I saw other movies in theaters. What else did I see? Oh, I saw the new Terminator movie, which is okay. And then I saw Parasite, which rules.
Really?
Yes, Parasite's awesome. It's a Korean movie. By the guy who did Snowpiercer. He did The Host.
Okay.
Bong Joon-ho has done those two, plus... Oh, he did Okja on Netflix a couple years ago. He did Mother. He makes these crazy movies.
Wait, was Mother the really... Didn't we watch that?
There's a different Mother. Mother was the Mother that you saw was the Darren Aronofsky, Jennifer Lawrence one. This is a Korean Mother. This is a different Mother. But yeah, no, Parasite's great. I can't really talk about it at all because it feels like anything you would say about it is a spoiler. But it's cool to see... What's nice to see, and I sort of maybe railed about this on this podcast before, but now it seems to be getting a little bit better that there are kind of indie or smaller movies in AMC. So like Parasite's there and The Lighthouse is there and Motherless Brooklyn's there. And I saw Jojo Rabbit in theaters, and I did not love that, but I really liked it. But it's cool to see like things that aren't necessarily just the hugest of blockbusters, you know, in our everyday movie theater.
Yeah, I think we're going to start to move towards that way. Like, we were on a blockbuster run for a while, and people are getting sick of it, I think. Like, I mean, I'm not that I don't like the Marvel movies, but after the 700th one, like, people are going to be like, okay, can we not get a you know.
Well, there's that whole backlash now from like Steven Spielberg. Exactly. Is it Spielberg or like you know, at least Scorsese, and he did a follow-up op-ed in the New York Times like, "Let me explain what I meant." And he's not wrong, but it's just like he shouldn't have to say it, but he did, and just oh boy.
Put your foot in your mouth and stop. You're not really going to win anybody over. Anybody that's with you is with you, and anybody that's not is just going to get angrier, so.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, this is a perfect little transition here to announce our next pit stop in 2 weeks.
Okay.
On November 26th,
what is it?
We are going to the theater, so we're giving you time to also go to the theater
right.
as well.
I forgot
go
about
see
this.
Ford v. Ferrari, the new racing movie. So it comes
Christian
out
Bale.
Friday, Christian Bale, yes, and who's the other person in it?
Matt Damon.
Oh, right, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so it looks interesting. The story, I know the actual story of Ford versus Ferrari.
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay, so I won't spoil anything for you, but it's a really interesting, fun, cool story. And there's been plenty of, like, books, documentaries, all this stuff about Ford wanting to beat Ferrari in Le Mans. That's mm-hmm. the whole premise of the thing, all the backstory that goes into it, and these kind of things. And it's really cool, so I can't wait to see the movie, because I know the real story, and I'm excited for you to see the movie. I would probably go into it just don't know anything about it. Like, this isn't a story you should, like, research to go see. Like, if you made it this far without knowing anything about it, go into it blind. See how you feel about it.
I will do. So that comes out Friday the 15th. So as you're listening to this, it comes out this Friday. So we're not going to have the episode out for like basically a week and a half after that. So you've got some time. You basically have 2 weekends to go to the theater to see that. So hopefully you do.
It's
but
fair.
Even if you don't, you're going to have the entire intro segment for us to listen to. And
yeah.
you can catch up, you know, whenever you catch up.
True. Yeah. Also, this is a movie, like, if you want to listen to the episode, like I said, just go read the fucking story about what happened, and then we can talk about the movie. I mean, like, you know, it's not one that's going to be, like, super spoily, because
yes.
you can't really, you like, if you wanted to, you could spoil it right now. Like,
yep.
you know what the movie's about.
So insightful. That's a great point.
Thank you.
So a couple things. Number one, before we
yes.
open the mailbag, we picked our next two Patreon, our next two lap themes.
Yes, we did.
So laps
it
six
took some
and
deliberation.
Seven. Yes, but actually less deliberation than I was fearing, I guess.
Okay.
You know, we kind of settled on what we want to do pretty quickly, which was good.
Yeah, we did.
So here's the deal. We're not trying to, like, extort you, blackmail you, dear listener, but we announced on Patreon what the two themes are going to be. We're not going to announce what they are on here until the relap recap before the new lap.
Yep.
So if you want to know what they are, lap 6 and lap 7, so basically all of 2020, you go on Patreon. Even if you pay $1 a month, you can see those over
You'll
there.
You'll get it. Yep.
We put them there because specifically we've got Jake, we've got Ben, and we've got Alex at the $10 level. They all get to pick a movie for one of those two laps.
So we wanted to give them a heads up, let them have time to
yes.
think about what their movies were, find something that fits the theme, you know, stuff like this.
And also, it doesn't have to be a movie. It could be a TV show. It could be, like, some kind of activity. Like, there's something just thematically tied
Book,
to the lap.
Anything? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Lap 6 and 7, available to peruse, to browse at toofasttoforever.com. And we, you know, like we said, we also added that program an entire lap, an entire theme, an entire lap over there at the $25 a month tier.
Yep.
But shout out right now to Cassie Wilson, Jake Freer, Ben Milliman, Nick Burris, and Alex Ellenin for supporting us at the $5
Thank
a month level or above. Thank you all so very,
Thank
very
you.
Much. So now, Joe, unfortunately, we have no email today. And I think this is sort of the ebbs and flows of the weekly show. Sometimes we're going to have, like last week, we had 6 in 6 days.
True.
And
yeah.
now we had none. So people are catching up.
It's okay.
What if no one ever emailed us again?
That would be really funny, right? It would feel weird. I think we would just go with it. And we could just like get to a point where we'd be like, well, next segment about the news.
Yeah.
Like, we would just, like, pretend like there was never any mailbag. People would be listening. They'd be like, did they never have emails? Are they just making them up?
You joked about that before, I think, right?
I
like,
have.
You've joked about how...
We just, like,
if I was
we
just
write
like,
the emails to
yeah.
ourselves. You just you just write them to yourself because I can't see them. So, like, you could just be reading something that you wrote in different tones all the time and, like...
It'd be so much work. Like, I love this podcast, but I do not love it that much.
You made fake social media for Wells and Jake and...
Oh, boy.
And you just talked to me through the fake social media.
It would be, I don't know who that would be for. Who would that be for?
I have no idea. You're just really looking out for my feelings. Like, you're just trying to make sure that I feel good while doing this. You're like, yeah, people are listening. Here they are.
It is wild. I do want to see here. Hold on 1 second. So what I do want to call out is that we have someone on Twitter, Leo Rubenkowski, who I don't believe has ever emailed in. And I don't know if we know who this person is. However, Leo wrote a poem.
Which was awesome.
To commemorate the release of Hobbs and Shaw on Blu-ray.
On the 5th of November.
On the 5th of November. And so he wrote, Leo wrote this and said, I adapted a poem for Hobbs and Shaw on the occasion of November 5 at Too Fast, Too Forever. Thought you two would enjoy it. At soulpopped at Joey D. So I'm going to read this poem. In light of not having email, here's the poem that Leo wrote.
Hope Leo hears it.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the Etion transhumanist plot. Forbid that with time, oh, the Etion crime should ever be forgot. Brixton Lore and companions did the scheme prepare, with Snowflake released in the world, none to spare. Steal Andraiko's mixture to prove the weak man no fixture. But, by God's providence, him they catch with cooperative stratagems in a match. Hobbs first, and then Shaw fought alone to a draw. Then, I know I'll defend, you attack. Back and forth we go, give the villain no slack. A keystroke to kill the bloke, protein and a lift to celebrate. An ale at the bar to relax, each in La Familia a mate. Helloa boys, mark the autumn day. Helloa boys, Hobbs and Shaw is out on Blu-ray. Hip, hip, hooray. Well, thank you, Leo. That was
a really good poem. I actually really liked it. Yeah, we shared it. We appreciate Leo writing the poem, and we did enjoy it, so thank you for sharing.
And weirdly enough, I don't want to spoil this, because I don't even know if you know about this. I think I maybe shared this with you once, or told you this about this once, but this is something akin to something we've got planned, not that we wrote, but planned for a future pit stop down the run. So just putting that out there. Poetry, not going to be far, necessarily, from our hearts. Has nothing to do, unfortunately, with You Are My Lifespan. Something totally different altogether.
Weird. I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember.
Also, I looked on Apple Podcasts for Too Fast, Too Forever. Still, 17 reviews, all 5 stars.
Still
the same number of... 17 ratings, all the reviews. If you have not reviewed us, if you have not rated us, it helps. So do that, I guess. Please. Thank you.
Please.
On the Streets and Rock the Vote, is there news? There was news. What was the news that we talked about since?
The news was, I forget what Slash Film maybe said it, they're bringing back Brian in Fast 9.
Oh, no, it wasn't Slash Film. It was some, like, real, like, weird kind of third-rate site or whatever.
We've talked about this before and how we feel about it. Both of us are kind of in the camp of, like, let Brian be gone. And I think it'll be hard to do, like, a tasteful kind of Brian reboot, knowing that Paul Walker's, like, actually dead. I don't know how I feel about it. We know that his family said that they wanted, like, Cody to be in the movies and they wanted Brian to stay being in the movies. We have to trust that they have Brian's best interest at heart, right?
Yeah, it seems like, based on everybody who's commenting on our Facebook, on the post on Facebook, is that people seem... like, they think it's real. They either don't want him to come back, or if they're going to come back, just use Cody, his brother Cody, Paul Walker's brother Cody, to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, though. I don't know how I feel. Like, I think if it makes sense, I'm not 100% against it, but I also think that he ended in such a great way that I think it's fine to leave as is. You know what I mean?
I think so, too. There's such a fine line of just being, like, tasteful and good.
Yeah.
That I'm nervous that there's a really big chance that they do a bad job. And I'm just nervous that because that chance is so high that they won't do a good job. That's mainly where all of my nervousness stems from.
I just saw a news post today, unrelated to this, but related in several ways, is that James Dean... you know, made 3 movies before he died. They're going to make a new James Dean movie and put him back with CGI. It's like, why? I don't understand why.
Stop. I don't know. And these are these things like, James Dean's not here to ask him, like, hey, do you want us to CGI you into a movie? Because I think that his wants should be acknowledged, right? Like, we don't know if Paul Walker wanted to be CGI'd into another movie.
Do you think this is going to be a question that we need to ask people before they, like, in their will? You know what I mean?
I think we might have to get to a point with, like, deep fakes and stuff like that, that, like, we might have to have actors be like, don't put me in a movie later. Like, no posthumous movies, you know?
There is a movie that I don't know if we've ever picked for Film Club. It definitely feels like a movie I would pick for Film Club. It's called The Congress. Have we talked about The Congress before?
No.
So The Congress came out in, like, 2013, and I've sort of incepted it into some of my boss's writing because he writes about, you know, deep fakes and futures and, you know, AI and all this different kind of stuff. And The Congress is a movie in which Robin Wright, who is Claire Underwood, also Princess Buttercup from The Princess Bride, plays herself or a version of herself. And she's an actress and she's sort of, you know, as she's an older actress, not, you know, she doesn't have as many parts as she once did. She consents to sort of giving up her likeness. And so she goes into this room, like this computer. There's like cameras all around and they scan her from all angles and they have a remote. And they're basically able to create a 3D, 100% lifelike recreation of Robin Wright, and they start making all these different movies with her at different ages because they can de-age and up-age and whatever. And so she's, you know, Robin, quote-unquote Robin Wright, is in all these movies, but okay. It's not the actress. And I think it's sort of about, I've only seen it once, and it was a while ago, so I don't remember exactly. I remember it gets real weird at the end, like it becomes like an animated movie kind of out of nowhere, which is crazy and weird. No, it's cool though, I think.
Okay.
It's still the actress, but is she making money? Does she own the rights to her rights? Like, is she, if they're profiting on her likeness, should she be compensated? All that kind of stuff, but like in a more entertaining way. It's kind of fascinating. It was a Draft House Films
release.
Yeah, it's
a really interesting. It's a really interesting thought process, and these are all things that we're gonna have to deal with, and the law is gonna have to deal with
really soon.
Really soon, yeah.
Because the other thing, like, you know, we were something either that I was reading or that my boss wrote or something, but, you know, like, if an AI is trained to create a song that sounds like Beyonce, but Beyonce has nothing to do with it, should Beyonce be compensated, like, in that, if it sounds like Beyonce and it's, like, the beats of, like, a what normally, like, a the music of what a Beyonce song would normally be, should Beyonce get compensated? Because they're basically aping her, but it's not her. Like, she didn't do any work. But they're using her kind of image and likeness and blah, 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 blah to put this out into the world. And it's just like, huh, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But I also, thankfully, don't have to have an answer for that.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I'm glad that we're not lawyers that have to fight for this, because that's going to be very complicated for a very long time. A
couple other really quick news things. David Leitch, who directed Hobbs and Shaw, said Dame Helen Mirren deserves her own Fast and Furious spinoff.
True.
I would like to see. I mean, we would watch it.
But she's going
to
be in, like, all the other ones now. Like, I think she's kind of solidified herself in them. She's in 9. We talked about this. Like, she got, like, kind of confirmed for 9 or whatever. So she's pretty much going to be in Hobbs and Shaw and this one. So, like, I can see them doing a Hattie Helen Mirren kind of spinoff. Like, the girls' spinoff is, like, them.
Yeah, I can see that. That would work.
She's like the leader of the girls' spinoff. I think that would be kind of cool.
You have an all-female spinoff led by Helen Mirren and Hattie and Letty and Mia and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
The other news, and this is just, I think, somebody kind of typed up some bonus features on the Hobbs and Shaw Blu-ray. In the movie, Dwayne Johnson, Hobbs, in the Samoan battle, bites a guy's face. Dwayne Johnson told the story of how his grandfather, Peter Maivia, bit another wrestler in a legendary story. So here's the quote. My grandfather was a very popular professional wrestler, widely considered the man who put Samoa, on the map. As the story goes, on a wrestling tour in Japan, my grandfather was having dinner with his wrestler friends after the show. They were drinking. My grandfather and this other wrestler have words, and they begin to fight in the restaurant. As they spill out into the street, the wrestler goes to double arm hook my grandfather. My grandfather does the only thing to do. He bites this guy's face, and he winds up biting his eye out.
In
Hobbs and Shaw, that is an homage to DJ's grandfather.
That is so gross and so weird. I don't deal with eyes and knees. I've said this many a times. Like, I've seen, like, lots of surgery things. I've done minor surgery things on things, and, like, eyes and knees, man, they just freak me out.
Did you hear that apparently when Dak Prescott got hit, he thought his eye popped out of his skull?
Was it him or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, it was Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
yes.
Last week, yeah.
But yeah, he thought his eye popped out of his skull, and he, like, went to, like, touch it, and, like, I'm like, ugh.
It makes me cringe, man. Ugh. I don't like it. I don't like the feeling at all. Yep, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Barf.
But yes. Glad he didn't. Good job, Deshaun Watson.
Keeping that eye in the head. And then also, the other quote in that thing was that Hobbs, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, named his dog Hobbs, which I think is kind of cute and adorable.
Oh, that is cute.
Right?
That's really cute, yeah.
And that's kind of all the news that's fit to print. You know, kind of a light opening segment. We still got the minute to do, but email us if you want to email in family@cageclub.me. I feel like we don't really say the email address too much anymore, but family@cageclub.me. Email in. Leave us a review, rating, 5 stars,
whatever.
You're
a new listener, please. People, we love new listeners, new emailers, too.
I feel like if people have started listening recently, we haven't done this in a while because we haven't gotten a new person to send one in a while, but send in your rankings. If you want to rank the 9 movies, send in your order, what your favorite to least favorite, or however you want to rank it. 1 to 9, all 8 movies plus Hobbs and Shaw.
Amen.
All right. Joe, the Fast and Furious Minute. I named it. This is open to interpretation. There's no dialogue in this again.
There's minor dialogue. I found minor dialogue.
But I named it Dom's Cool Secret. So I have an idea, Joe, for the for a new thing that we can do each minute.
What?
I think that we should, and this is going to be maybe like a, I don't want to say like a listener exam, but I kind of want to come up with like a multiple choice question and answer for each minute.
Okay.
And just keep it real safe, or it can also be true or false. But I think the multiple choice.
Oh, so like they play like as they're listening.
Well, no, because we're going to talk about, I want to do like a written exam at the end. Like we do like a Google Forms when we finish the entire first movie. We can have like, we're going to have to go back. And maybe this can be a pit stop. I don't know. But we're going to have to go back and come up with questions for the first 20 minutes. Like for instance, this one, what inspired this is that Dom, it's kind of like a perfect trivia question, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I'm going exactly where you were.
Is that Dom's Nas, like a lot of the time, the guys, like the racer's Nas button, like the activation button,
is right on
button,
the steering wheel.
It's on the steering wheel, right? But Dom's, he has to push the air conditioning button. The hazard light pushes out, kind of like a cigarette lighter almost, and then
yes.
There's a button on top that he then injects the Nas into his engine, and he speeds off.
Yeah, that's his push button. Yeah.
We could do a new category called trivia question. I think it would be something along the lines of like, what button does Dom have to push
to
prime his Nas, essentially.
Yeah, not prime. That's an interesting word. But get the Nas button to come out. But I would say, like, what standard car button
does Dom use for
his Nas?
Combination of standard car buttons does Dom have to push
to use his Nas?
Use his Nas. Option A, and we can always rearrange this, but option A would be air condition, AC to hazard lights.
Yes.
B can be hazard lights to air conditioning.
Radio.
Yep.
Radio to like eject.
Eject button to hazard lights.
Cigarette lighter. Something to cigarette lighter. Because it kind of looks like a cigarette lighter. That'd be a good fake one, right?
Hazard lights to cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be interesting because it's like the kind of nitpicky stuff. Like it kind of gives purpose to the Fast and Furious minute. It's the little details that we're picking up to flesh out the world, but be like, oh, like you could, it could be something as nitpicky as like, what's the name of the shop across the street from blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all the signs, everything that you're doing,
I'm
giving
down.
A reason
this would be
to
a
that.
Fun one, and this would be a fun quiz to like release to everyone at the end of the thing. Like, it's like a, like this would be the ultimate bar trivia of Fast and the Furious, right? Like, we can make like a really hard one that's not like. Like, hard to just be obnoxious, but, like, a hard one to be like, oh, shit. Like, you would know it, but you wouldn't be, like, certain of it, you know?
And what we can do is that whoever gets the highest score at the end, or if you, like, get a passing grade or whatever, you can win some kind of swag or merch or prize. I mean, you
cool.
can also go
I'm
back
down.
And listen to all these.
Yeah, you could cheat, but it would be really hard.
It's basically an open book test, unless you want to write down, if you want to write down the questions every time. I don't know, but, you know, play it however you want to play it. But I think we can put together something, and, you know, maybe we can go back and do some... other minutes either on air or off air and just come up
I'm
with like
down.
A really
that's a really
arcane,
fun idea
specific difficult trivia quiz.
I'm so down. That's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you like it, because I was driving tonight and I was just like that's kind of
that's
like because there's
genius
not a lot
idea.
To talk about, you know. We
yep.
talked about last time, right? You were saying that this kind of that you're kind of getting blue balled by the minute. This again is even like there's even less kind of going on here. It's just
yeah
it's them
it's
racing.
Just the manifold like sorry not the manifold the floor pan
danger to manifold
finally danger to manifold floor pan finally falls off.
Yep.
Brian's ahead. Dom sequences his NOS open, NOSes it, beats Brian at the end.
Yep.
That's it. Like that's the whole thing. Like, and then Brian spins his car around and they all pull up to the end of the line.
Yeah, Brian almost, I mean, he doesn't quite pull a Jesse later in the movie and drive off, but he's not there at the end. Like, the other three guys are there at the end and Brian is like way far back.
Blew the piston rings.
Finishing order, Dom, then Brian, then Danny Yamato, Edwin. So poor Edwin, you know, promise a menage, comes in dead last.
Which is funny because, like, we were talking about in the last time we watched this, the Craig Lieberman video says it would be Dom, Edwin, Danny, and Brian.
It just shows how bad of a driver Edwin is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do wonder, though, how, going back to the trivia question for a second, how does Dom turn on his air conditioning in that car? Because it seems like the button doesn't do the air conditioning. It just...
I know, and you're in California. I was thinking the same thing.
You need it.
How do you use your hazard lights? Do you just hit NOS? Like... Like, I don't fucking know. I don't know either of these.
What was cool about this is almost this entire minute is, like, the blurry background where it's just, like, the lights going by so quick.
Yes.
Which is a cool thing to see. I also, I don't know if that's...
So...
I don't know how realistic that is, but it's cool to see.
It was cool to see, but watching this chunk in one-minute pieces repetitively showed me how 90s this movie is. Because it's really, like, a weird almost green screen, like moving screen thing that they got going on there. If you watch us over and over again and you're like looking at like all the background and you're not like tied up in the race like we were, when I was watching it this time, I was like, oh, this looks like you're on like an animated ride, right?
Interesting.
Like
it looked, yeah.
It very much felt to me like I was in like a Space Mountain or something like that, right? Because like all the things are moving and when you start to like repeat it, my brain was like, oh, none of these things are moving. They're just like streaking. And I was like, they're going much slower than they look when you're watching it in the moment. So yes. It was like very weird to me. As I kept watching, it kept slowing down. I was like, oh, these cars are going like 20 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Like, and it felt very strange.
Yeah. You wrote down some signs. There's nothing super exciting necessarily about the signs. Is there anything here that you want to talk about? Anything noteworthy sign-wise?
Yes, there was one that I almost got a phone number for you. That's the main takeaway from this.
Damn,
when
Daniel.
They're at one point, I think maybe when Dom is about to hit his NOS and they show you like the two cars next to each other, they pass Special Discount Furniture. They have like a shot and you see maybe like when they're pulling up to the end of the line, you know, like when you see like them finishing the race and you see
yep.
Dom pass then Brian,
yep.
They're showing you that shot of the line, right? And across the street is a Special Discount Furniture. It looks like a 544-2099. We could probably figure out the area code, but I couldn't make out the number enough to warrant this. Because, like, the camera's kind of shaky, right? Because you're watching the race. It's kind of shaky. It's kind of weird. It's kind of hard to read. I, like, tried to freeze it a bunch of times, and I couldn't make it out succinctly. So I give up on that. They do have something else that was really weird. Like when they pull up at the end of the race, it looks like it says, I can't make out the first letter of it, but it's like Goobies or Boobies Balloons Store. And then Okay. Underneath it says wrap, like wrapping paper.
Very cool, I guess.
So I guess this is like a party store that was there that was like on the other end of this strip. And I'm more confused if is it Goobies? Goobies sounds like a weird name. And then the other name I was like, maybe it's Boobies, B-O-O-B-E-E-S, and I'm very confused by it. So the way signs are set up and stuff like that, like there's some shots that we just can't get some letters of them. I added some other signs and things.
Especially because like the way that this is shot, I mean, aside from like the most of the minute is just them zooming by everything too quickly, but
yes.
At the end, like it's a weird kind of downward facing camera angle where you're not really. Entitled is the wrong word, but like you're not entitled to like the side. You can't really see the sides. Like it's very clearly about this street. It's all at a weird angle and sort of like cut off at the top on either side.
It was hard, but that was the best that I could do in this one. Oh, and I also got some minor dialogue at the end of it. It's just somebody being like when they pull up to the end, Dom is getting out of his car and somebody in the crowd is like, move, come on, back up, trying to let Dom get out of his, like, don't swarm Dom. But we don't know who it is, like, you know, it's just like some random crowd goer. These are kind of like the whispers we heard like before the race. Remember, we were hearing people talking hearing people talking in the background.
You know what I'm most excited about with this minute is that maybe the next minute is going to finally be Dude, I Almost Had You.
It is.
I don't know if it's gonna be the entire thing though. Like,
it's gonna
get cut
half
off.
Of it. We're gonna get the first half of it, and I think the second half is gonna be Jesse walks up. Or actually, you know what? I think that there might be 1 minute in between. Like, it might be Dude, I Almost Had You, and then Jesse's gonna like walk up, and Dom looks at the engine, and it's gonna like stop there. That's my guess.
Yeah, maybe. I made another 25 minutes in the audio and the video files this weekend. I cut down the digital copy into 25 more minutes. So yeah. I have a set. I know what minute we get to the party. And I know that I showed you the screenshot still between, I don't remember what minutes they are, but there's just the one where
Vince's face.
Kind of pounding the Corona, but not his lips aren't on the bottle. He's just like pouring it into his mouth. Like that's a split of a minute, which I think is awesome. But I know when we get to the party, and we're close, but we're not there yet. We got a lot to get before there, obviously. We talked about that, but I don't know the actual individual breakdown of how, you know, 1 minute bleeds into the next. We all know what's coming. It's just that I don't know where the actual starts and stops are.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like the dumb title, Dom's Cool Secret? Because I just thought, you know, air conditioning, cool secret.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
I don't know what else it could be. Like, it's not like there's
exactly.
a lot, you know, there's not a lot to go off here.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a quick break. Let's come back and talk about Brick Mansions for 2014, the Paul Walker in another Brian O'Connor spinoff movie, ?
Christmas episode. Episode number 56.
Pit Stop. 56. Pit Stop.
Pit Stop. This episode is brought to you by Maine School of Masonry, the country's only private nonprofit masonry school that opened its doors in 2005. Since then, hundreds of students have learned the fundamentals of laying brick and stonework. Brick masons.
Very, very
brick
cool.
Brick mansions. Brick mansions. Sorry, I said masons because of masonry, but...
It's close
brick
enough.
Brick masons and brick mansions. It's both right. Okay.
So Brick Mansions from 2014. This is a movie that I saw in theaters, and I'm going to be upfront here. When Ben picked this, I thought it was a good pick because it's a, you know, it's a later day. It's Paul Walker's
yes.
final movie that he fully completed. Yes. Furious 7 came out after this, but he had passed away before he was done shooting.
In the middle of it, obviously.
And so they CGI'd him in. We've talked about that a lot. This was the last movie that he fully completed. And I remembered not liking it in theaters. Like, I remember thinking
Dude,
parts were cool.
How?
I don't know. But now, so I was a little bit worried to watch it. And then this time I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, I don't know. It's not great, but it's good and it's a lot of fun.
This is what I say.
It's very, really like a Brian O'Connor spinoff movie.
It absolutely is. So I said this to you. I watched it today and I said, this movie had no reason to be as fun as it was.
Yep.
I don't know how they made it. Like you said, it's not great, but it was like such a fun, goofy action movie. This movie fits so perfectly between the second movie and the fourth movie. It's like, this is what Brian was doing during Tokyo Drift, essentially.
So what I love about this movie is that he is a cop. We knew he was an undercover cop. He also, once again, by the end of this, quits being a cop. Like, he can't not quit being a cop.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He finds this, he sides with the criminals every time at the end.
The most important thing, it's a small thing, but just trying to fit into what we've been talking about recently. After the first episode of this lap, we asked Kara, what do you think, where do you think they go for Too Fast? She's like, I don't know, Detroit? This movie takes
yes.
place in Detroit, and...
Yes.
There are so many dudes jumping into and out of car windows.
Windows. Yes.
This is the movie that Carol wanted to see.
It is. There's like one part where he parkours, like the door was open and he's with Brian, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Lino?
Lino. L-I-N-O, I think.
Lino. He, Dukes of Hazzard's, the door's open, but like through and out the side of the window. And I was like, holy shit, this is exactly Kara's, this is what she wanted. And yeah, I was like, I can't believe that it actually happened in this.
This is a remake of a movie called District B-13, which is a French movie. And
okay.
from what I understand, that I haven't seen that, Mike Manzi's seen it, he really likes it, Resident Story Mike Manzi. I
yes.
think from what I've gathered, Lino, the same actor, was in District B-13.
Oh, okay.
This is, I think, sort of a remake, but also kind of a continuation of his story. I don't think it's like a complete retelling. I think he's the star of that one, or maybe he's the same character. I don't know exactly, but like, if you want more of this and more of him, because he's a crazy good parkour artist, you can watch District B-13, which is a French movie from, I think, like 2004-ish, maybe?
Okay.
Or like a couple, at least a couple years before, maybe a decade before. But this is either like a remake or a sequel or kind of a hybrid of both. Before we talk about the movie, there's a couple quotes that I pulled from Wikipedia. This had sort of like mixed reviews, mixed critical reception. Isaac Feldberg of We Got This Covered, though, called this, quote, a highly entertaining action thriller, said, quote, if Brick Mansions is to serve as Paul Walker's final work, it's relieving, at least, to know that it's his best and an appropriately sensational capstone to a career built on pulse-pounding, jaw-dropping action spectaculars.
I would argue it's probably not his
no, yeah,
best.
Exactly.
But other than that, I agree. Like, this is a great send-off in the sense that he was, like, becoming, like, the biggest action star in the world, right? So it feels like a Fast and Furious spinoff to me. Like, I don't know how he agreed to this when we know that in the Paul Walker documentary, he was saying, like, I don't want to be part of a franchise forever. And he's part of a franchise forever. And then the other movie that he does essentially feels like the exact same movie. I love it. It was more of what we wanted,
yep.
but... I don't know how he did it. Like, I don't know how he okayed this.
I don't know. One other quote that I pulled, Mick LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, quote, the movie itself makes that impossible to forget. There are cars all over the movie. Car chases, car crashes, crazy driving, a scene of Walker hanging from a speeding car, and
yep.
even a scene of Walker and another guy going 80 miles an hour when the brakes and the steering give out. Apart
yep.
from that, there's just the awkwardness of looking at someone on screen and knowing more about him than he knows about himself.
True. Oh, good quote.
I think it's kind of about...
He's Brian O'Connor.
Well, I mean, when I watched Fast and Furious 6, like, he died in November, and then I was watching it again to, like, kind of do my final year-end ranking or whatever, and I remember being, like, really sad, like, not even almost being, like, almost not be able to finish the movie, because, like, knowing him there, you know, ride or die, and, like, them just doing crazy stunts, and knowing he died in a car... It's weird to, like, see that between the time that he made this movie and the time that it came out...
Yes.
He died. There's the irony there. And also, you know, in terms of the character side of it, yeah, like, absolutely. Like, he knows, like, the characters not know that he's Brian O'Connor, but, like, we know that he's Brian O'Connor. I call them, in my entire notes, I just call them Brian. Like, it's Brian Same. Doing this, Brian
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah, I don't even know his real name in this movie. It's Brian. Like, he's playing Brian O'Connor, yeah. so, to me,
well,
it's like...
Well, he starts out with, like, black hair and, like, brown eyes, and I was like, I don't know what... This is weird. I don't like this. And then, thankfully, he takes those contacts out and showers out the gel, like, the hair dye, and I was like, there he is, the juicy boy with the blue eyes. Like, there, he's back.
We get a great blue eye shot of him, don't
oh,
we?
Oh, yeah.
They focus, and they're like, no. You thought you weren't going to get Brian O'Connor, but you're definitely going to get Brian O'Connor.
Yeah. So let's go through this,
oh, God,
specifically
so
talking
overlap.
About the connections to the Fast and Furious franchise.
Not a connection to the Fast and Furious franchise. When I first saw Leno, I really was hoping, please God, don't let this main actor be Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Wait, you thought he was Neil Patrick Harris?
No, Ted Mosby is the other one.
Oh.
The one that looks like this guy. The one that was in the fucking Zeff movie, too, where he was hooking up with,
oh,
like,
Josh
girl.
Radnor. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was him, and I was like, please, God, don't be him. Please, God, don't be him. And I was like, this guy's a little too jacked for it. I was like, if this is a really jacked Ted, this movie is going to go downhill real fast. And it wasn't, thankfully. I was like, oof. And then Paul Walker's not in, like, the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, I don't know where the fuck we're going with this.
This movie also, to set up the premise, so this movie is about, in Detroit, in the year 2018, the distant future of 2018, they have basically built Hamsterdam.
It had so much Wire references to me. This was like the towers. Yeah, exactly.
Season 3 or season 4 of The Wire, Hamsterdam, where they basically let crime run amok. It's also like the movie Dread, which I just rewatched. Things have kind of gone to shame, to ruin, to just fallen apart in different places. So they sort of gather all of the less desirable elements, and they literally in this movie put up walls around what they call brick mansions, which is like this big building. And RZA is kind of the de facto mayor, and he's also like the drug kingpin. And the movie is about, he steals a bomb, right? He steals like a neutron bomb.
He has a neutron bomb. That's like a big contentious point in the movie. They're sending Brian to go get the bomb back.
Yeah, there's basically two sides of the story. There's number one, there's a Leno side who is trying to get revenge, or he's trying to like vigilante kind of style.
He's the Robin Hood. He like steals the drugs. He's trying to get rid of all the drugs because he's trying to like kind of in his own way clean up the neighborhood, right?
Yes. The first scene is him taking like 20 pounds or 20 kilos of heroin and ruining it all. RZA is trying to go after him, and he goes after him through his girlfriend and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, they're sending Brian in. And again, like, this is a kind of like a Brian and Roman situation where it's Brian and Lena, like, you know, the only person you could do this with is a fellow convict. It's like, what? Like, this is literally Too Fast, Too Furious.
I know. And they're like, the guy that we're going to give you to do it is like, the guy to be your eyes is going to be a criminal that like lived there forever. And Brian's reaction is so the same exact reaction from two. Like, I was ready for him to ask Leno if he knew what would be a better engine for a Skyline, a Gallo Delver, a Gallo 24. Like, his like first reaction is like, really, this guy? And you're like, go ahead, test him. Like, I just wanted him to give him a question that was like just like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how similar, and I don't know if it's like a, because there's references in here, like RZA at one point literally says, we ride or die. Like, there's stuff in here, and like, there's another thing like where they're running through and there's like a Wu-Tang poster in the background. At one point, RZA says, you know, up in here, cash rules everything around me. You know that one, right? It's like, well, okay. So, like, this movie is, like, winking at the audience a little bit, but I also feel like it's not explicitly, like, let's remake another Fast and Furious movie. It's kind of just like, here's what we're going to do, and it just so happens that everything that we're seeing, we're picking up on these, like, similarities.
Yes, I think so, and I think that that's part of the charm of the movie, right? Like, that's one of the reasons why I liked it so much. If it was trying to be, like, super out there and, like, original, it wouldn't have been as much fun for me as a viewer.
Yeah, Brian and Roman, essentially, Brian and Leno go in to take out the neutron bomb. Leno's trying to save his girlfriend, who RZA has captured. In the end, or sort of as they get there, they stop the bomb from going off. They realize that the bomb was, they were not set in to disarm the bomb, but to have the bomb to detonate right there, because the...
Yes.
The stupidest thing is that the disarm code is the zip code that they're going to blow it up, and that's Brick Mansions. And so then, like, what feels like the end of the movie is like an hour 5 or an hour 10 of this movie. I'm like, where, like, what is, I'm like, I don't remember where this goes. They then take the bomb to City Hall and to the mayor. Everybody from Brick Mansions follows them in there.
Yeah.
And it's Brian and Leno and RZA and, like, RZA's main bodyguard. And they all burst into the mayor's office. And then there's a guy on the rooftop across the street, like, filming this and recording it.
They want the mayor to put the code in that he gave them to disarm it. They're like, fucking do it then. And he's like, oh, I can't, we got it.
But he's also talking about, like, the cesspool of brick mansions. You know, like,
yeah.
It would be like as crazy as, like, somebody saying, like, Baltimore is, like, a shithole of a city. Like, you would never say that.
Yeah.
Especially not if you're, like, the president.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, you know, the mayor gets kicked out. They knock down the walls of brick mansions. RZA, I guess, starts running for mayor of the entire of Detroit. And Brian is kind of the sheriff. Like, they call him sheriff. Like, he just kind of, you know, polices everything.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, police, but he's police.
He is. The best part about the end to me was, like, how did we just forgive the RZA for being, like, a long-time murderer drug dealer?
Well, because he says, I've done a lot of bad things, but I never tried to kill your dad. And Brian's like, all right, yeah, I buy it.
No, I mean, like, how did the city of Detroit, like, let him run for mayor as a criminal? I mean, don't answer that question, honestly, because, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, how did somebody that has, like, an extensive criminal past run for election? Everybody's like, got my vote.
I don't know, man. I do not know. I was also calling, or sort of comparing RZA to Carter Verone, kind of in the, like, he's not
so much
explicitly...
Carter Verone.
A drug dealer, but he is a Carter Verone. And also the parkour, he was reminding me of Fast Five with the favelas, where they're running from rooftop to rooftop.
It also Four, with Dom hanging the guy out the window.
Yeah.
It was so much more reminiscent of Four for me, because in Four, that's when we see Brian first become the FBI agent. Brian's kind of new, and Brian does that whole parkour scene through the whole first part of Four, and we just watched Four. I was like, oh my god, like, there's so many similarities. Another similarity that I caught, he goes to his grandfather, right? Like, his grandfather's kind of like a mini through line throughout the movie, and when he goes and first meets his grandfather, he's like, he just caught, like, the first bad guy. Like, we get introduced to Brian, and he's, like, catching, like, what's his name? Like, Carlos the Greek or whatever. He's like, I only got one left, Grandpap. Like, I'm gonna go get, like, the RZA. He's like, no, you'll never stop. And he's like, one last job. And I was like, one last job is, like, the whole theme of Fast and Furious. Like, they're always doing one last job.
Yeah.
It's like, one last job, and then come back to you, family. That was, like, the whole thing. I was like, oh, this is so perfect.
Another thing that I found early on was that there's a scene where Brian has, like, his entire kind of Pepe Silvia sort of map on his wall of, like, different people's pictures and maps.
Yes.
And, like,
yes.
String going from thing to thing. And he's there, and he's, like, trying to piece out who's going. And then this beautiful woman from behind, she was like, basically, like, come back to bed. He's like, I'm working. And it's just like, even here, like, he's, again, it's sort of, this is a little bit Brian, but also kind of a little bit of Hobbs. Like, you know, not now, woman. Like, I'm working here. And just, he's got that Fast and Furious, the work, the job is more important than, I mean, family above all, but, like, she's obviously not family. She's just kind of a, you know, whatever. She's like, she's there for the night.
A lady of the night, she is.
Brian also speaks Chinese in this, which for a little bit, which is kind of cool. Like, surprisingly, he drops a couple lines of Chinese.
Did you think at any point the woman that left his apartment was Lino's girlfriend, and they were both vying for the same woman's affection?
Oh, I don't know. I also got a sense in the middle that, like, Lino and his girlfriend had broken up, right? Like, they say that, I think, right? And then...
Yes, that's what I was saying. So, like, it was like, oh, Lino still loves her, but he got her out and she lives in the city with Brian now. Like, I thought that was going to be the thing. Like, the surprise was going to be when they get there... They're both kind of chasing the same girl.
I don't usually watch movies like that, try to do that, like, try to guess what's coming next, because I just get too into my own head. But I also
Fair.
It almost feels like the movie is kind of not trying to complicate things too much or something like that. You know what I mean? But also,
yeah.
It could fit easily into this, so I don't know.
I was, like, seeing it, and, like, the girl that left Brian's house was, like, cute and kind of the same shape and, like, hair color, but you only see her from behind for, like, a second, so that's why I was, like... Oh, I thought that maybe it was going to be the same girl, and that was going to be, like, the big climax of this, right? Like, they're both, like, she's like, no, I'm with Brian now, and, like, this is what I thought was going to go on. Did you notice at one point they give Brian this pre-programmed GPS tracker to make it into the ghetto, and he's following the GPS tracker, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Four. That's what Gal would have given him to, like, deliver the drugs. Like, they have this thing. Like, that's the whole thing. There's so much overlap that I was really excited about as I was watching this.
Oh, actually, when I mentioned before he speaks Chinese, he says he's never been to Southeast Asia. And I was like, you know, not that Tokyo is necessarily Southeast Asia, but, like, he's never been there, I guess, because, you know, that's
true.
Other people's story. So, like, I think that...
He never did make it to Asia in Fast and the Furious, right?
He never did.
No.
Dom did. Han did.
Yeah,
nobody else.
True.
Giselle probably got close.
She did. She was in Singapore.
She's a citizen of the world.
She is.
In that scene where he holds onto the guy's car as the guy drives away, what I thought was really cool, like, he's holding onto the trunk, and he picks the lock of the trunk, and he goes in through the back seat, punches both guys, buckles his seatbelt, and crashes his car into the barrier in front of the precinct. And the guy ejectocitos, because into the police station.
Yeah, he throws him out. Yep.
There's one. And then the guy's like, you know, show me your hands. Show me your hands. Get out of the car. He's like, I'm a cop. He's like, show me your badge. And he just flips him off. I'm like, that's another Brian thing.
That's
like
a very Brian move. Yeah.
This is all very too fast. Like, it's the Roman connection, ejectocito, because it's him and Roman flipping each other off.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So much of this is like, is almost literally too fast just up north.
He doesn't do a stare and drive. He does a no hands and drive with Lino in the car.
Oh, yeah. He's like, you want to drive? Go ahead and drive. It's just like, whoa.
And he just picks his hands up, which is also a nod to the one criminal that couldn't drive, remember? When he's like, I'll teach you how to drive or whatever.
True.
Like,
Yeah.
There's so much too fast that is happening in this. Car-wise, I have something interesting.
Okay.
Pretty much throughout this whole movie, they're driving the Riz's Mustang, right?
Yes.
And the main point of contention is, like, early on, they go downstairs, like, they had, like, captured the RZA, right? Like, Lino captures the RZA. This is before, like, the whole Brian, like, comes in kind of thing. He's like, give me the keys to your Mustang. He's like, no, that's my baby. Like, you know that's my baby. In that garage, there's, like, a Lambo and, like, all of these other cars. And I'm like, really? Like, the Mustang is the car that you're, like,
American muscle, baby.
I guess. But it wasn't even, like, really crazy, right? Like, you have, like, a Lambo sitting right there. So it's like, you don't want that one? And he's like, no, man, like, the Mustang's my baby. And I was like, what the fuck? It was just very strange to me.
Oh, I liked, I mean, this is not really a Fast and Furious thing, but when they capture Lino, right? Like, they draw, like, Lino, they have RZA, like, they go in, they kidnap RZA, and they have RZA at gunpoint, right? It's Lino and his girlfriend.
Yes.
And they bring him to the,
right before what I was just saying,
the military police, right? It turns out that they're all on RZA's payroll, and they arrest Lino right there, and then RZA takes, you know, the girl away with them. But then there's that, like, crazy parkour where he pulls the guy's head through the meal slot and then jumps on the wall and, like, knees down on his head. Like, that was brutal.
It was very brutal. It was reminiscent of, like, American History X to me. It was like I don't want to get head smashed in the feed tray of my jail cell. Like, no.
We had talked before about this, how this is a neutron bomb. Like, once again, and this is sort of, like, not an argument that we had about Hobbs and Shaw, but it sort of makes sense here, I guess, like, in just a kind of this, like, dumb sort of generic action movie that Brian's got to save the world again, right? Like, it's just like,
yes, he's saving the world. It can't be low stakes, get the drug kingpin. It's like, no, the drug kingpin also has a neutron bomb and Russian military weapons.
Yep.
For them having so much military-grade weapons and guns, they rarely get shot at. Comparatively, right?
Yeah.
They have rockets and stuff, and then, like, they'll be being chased by, like, 40 people and, like, no one's shooting at them in, like, an open street. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'll know the answer. You might know the answer. The license plates in Detroit.
Oh, with the QR codes?
Is that, like, a new thing? Is that real?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard maybe about that. No, I think that's made up for the movie.
Okay, so this is really stupid. We don't have these because, you know, you live in the Tri-State area, I live in the Tri-State area, and, like, all of these, like, places, like the Tappan Zee Bridge and, like, stuff like that are all switching to Easy Pass or ticket in the mail. So it just takes a picture of your license plate. Dude, if you had a QR code on it, this would be awesome.
What would you need to know? Like, what would the QR code offer more than just license plate? Because in theory, you're tapping into the same database, whether you're looking at a license plate, you're looking at a QR code. Like, what additional info would the QR code offer?
No, just, like, make sure that, like, the plate was real, or if, like, if you, like, try to scuff the plate or something, like, it would distinguish between O's and zeros for the cops, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever see, like, the thing that, like, somebody has a picture and they're like, got my new license plate in the mail, and the license plate's like, O-O-0-0-O-0-O-0-O-O.
There was a guy who had the license plate null, N-U-L-L, and I don't remember if it was one state or multiple, I think it was multiple states, I think it was, like, 30 states. If a cop doesn't enter in a license plate for whatever reason, it ticks to null. So this guy had, like, hundreds of parking tickets and, like, all these, like, different, like, he just, like, had, like, crazy, and, like, it wasn't him in any of them. It was, like, some other car that they hadn't punched it in. So, like,
every state that he went to, they tried to, like, boot him because they were like, null, here it is, we found null.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but that it is. So
yeah,
so something like this is what I'm imagining the QR code would be for. Or, you know, like, it could tell the cops, or, you know, how, like, in Georgia they have, like, your town or your township or whatever on your license plate. They did for a while. Like, it would, like, tell you, like, it could say, like, Trenton, right? Like, it would be, like, New Jersey, but then it would say, like, Trenton at the bottom.
Okay.
And mine would be, like, New Haven, right? Like, it would say, like, Connecticut, but it would have New Haven. So you could have that information in the QR code, but not printed on your license plate, right?
Gotcha, okay.
So it'd be, like, stuff for cops, but, like, stuff that, like, you wouldn't want maybe everyone to know, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that makes sense. when he drives through the barricades to get into Brick Mansion, it was very reminiscent of Fast and Furious number 4, when he drives through the tunnel in Mexico, where he just, like, kind of, like...
1,000%.
He's like, you know, do you know where you're going? Yeah, I'm just gonna just barrel through here.
And it's, like, even, like, the same, like, kind of, like, boarded-up wall that they, like, plow through. Did you notice that when they hijack the truck...
Yeah.
In the version of hijacking, that they shoot a thing in the front and winch it up onto another truck. Italian job slash Fast Five it.
Oh, okay.
Because they, like, grab the truck with the winch. And, like, also, we use winches in every Fast and the Furious movie after 4, pretty much, right? Like, they, like, hook onto a car and, like, drag it somehow.
Yeah. We're talking about how Lino is basically Roman, right? But, like, there's a part here, they knock a guy out at Brick Mansions, and Brian goes to get the keys out of the pocket, and Lino already has elbowed the driver's window. And Brian's like, I got the keys. Like,
yes.
Why is he, like, he's so Roman.
Tyrese. And then, like, a couple of the last things that I have that are just, like, you know, movie fun things.
Yep.
This really threw me out of the movie when I was watching it because, you know, we always watch the minute now. So I was watching kind of, like, the grand scope of the movie and things in the background and whatnot. When Brian is like, give me the code, and it, like, has the phone, there's a point where it cuts back to the bomb to show you how much time is left, and half the code's already punched in before Brian touched it. And I was like, come on, guys. Like, and it's, like, visible. So, like, I, like, rewound the movie and was like, is it really, like, half the code's punching? And, like, yep, he already, like, has, like, 3 of the 5 digits punched into the thing. And I'm like, god damn it. And then, like, when he goes to punch it, it, like, re-punches them and, like, lights up. But I was like, you guys couldn't have fixed that, like, one scene? Like, who didn't, like, just, like, Photoshop over this? You know what I mean? That's just, like, an Adobe Premiere thing. This isn't, like, a weird, like, just cut that part out. Like, you know, because it's just, like, showing you the numbers. So just, like, blank over it.
Yeah.
Really strange.
Oh, so we've talked about, I think it was Wes's term, automancer, right? Where we talk about, like, touching cars gets you more powerful.
Yes.
There's a part in here where Paul Walker has to do a little bit of parkour where they have to jump from building to building. And I wonder if he was a, kind of like a parkour mancer because, like, Lino kind of, like, taps him on the back, like, you know, like, you got this, buddy. Like, just don't think about it. Don't think, jump, all instinct. He kind of touches Brian. I was like, oh, parkour mancer, maybe?
Parkour mancer. I like it.
They kind of Hobbs and Shaw the giant guy at the end when they have to, like, it's they learn it quicker than Hobbs and Shaw. They know that they can't single-handedly take this guy down. So, like, they have to, like, kind of do the look over here and then the other person takes him out.
The double backflip that they do at one point is incredible, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a lot of, like, partnership Hobbs and Shaw kind of feels there.
I mentioned earlier that Brian, you know, that RZA says, I didn't kill your dad. Like, he didn't kill Brian's dad, whatever. Brian's always had daddy issues. Like, even, you know, we talked about in when we did the diagnostics that Brian O'Connor doesn't know his dad, or his dad walked out or whatever. So, like, I feel no matter what character he's playing, he's got daddy issues. So, like, the other movies that we talk about with him, you know, this lap, we got to see if his dad is around or if his dad's not around, because it feels like, you know, he's always just kind of like a cowboy without a daddy.
Very true. Like, one of my favorite parts was, you were just talking about Riz is like, I didn't kill your dad. And Lino, you know, tells Brian, like, look, this doesn't feel right. It's definitely not the code. They're trying to blow us up. They just, like, they're like, okay, we're going to let it count down then. And Brian just, like, after that, he just shrugs and goes, joke's on me.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah,
it's like, what? Like, your response to, like, you could have died 0.2 seconds ago was like, got me.
There's another line earlier. It's not that, but it's when they are in the laundromat and he speaks a little Chinese and the guy puts a coin in the laundromat slot and he goes in, like, the whole, like, machine, like, enters into the wall and they go into, like, the underground drug lair.
Which is really dope, by the way, yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of...
Say it, Wale?
I was going to say it reminds me of Breaking Bad, where there's the laundromat, but I don't remember the name of the laundromat in Breaking Bad.
The sliding thing always reminds me of one thing. Streetwear clothing store in Boston called Bodega.
Okay.
In Boston, there's this shop. In the front of it, it looks like a really shitty convenience store, okay? You know, like, a couple drink things, they don't really fill it. There's, like, some Top Ramen on the shelves, but it's, like, generally pretty shitty. So we went there because we were, like, looking for the streetwear store. We were actually at Karma Loop, and Karma Loop had a real store. Now it's, like, just an online store. We're like, yo, is there, like, another shop around here like this? And this dude's like, Bodega's, like, the dopest shop around. Like, go there. So we walk up, and we're, like, looking, and, like, we have the address. This is, like, before, like, you could get, like, really get GPS on your phone. So, like, we had, like, the address, and we're like, okay, like, this is the address of this thing called Bodega, but, like, there's only the shitty convenience store here. Like, we know that that's a bodega, but, like, this isn't a clothing store. So we're like, did this guy, like, take us to, like, somewhere weird or something?
Yeah.
We walk up to the guy at the counter, and he's on a MacBook Pro, like, a brand new one.
Okay.
In this really shitty convenience store. And we're like, oh, this is so weird. And we're like, do you know where this clothing store is? He's like, what? And we're like, the clothing store. Like, do you know where, like, the clothing store is? He's like, step on the cracked tile. And, like, next to I swear to God, this memory seared into my brain. So we walk over, we like look down, and there's like a cracked tile like right to the right of him. And we like walk over, and a Snapple machine just slides over, and we hear this like blaring hip hop music. And like you go through a door, and you're like in the clothing shop.
That's awesome.
And like that's, it's the coolest thing ever. So if you want to see it, even cooler is when we came back, Wale, the rapper Wale, shot a music video there. Lady Gaga's in the music video before she was famous.
Oh.
Like she's just like singing the hook on this. So it's like a Wale, Lady Gaga music video. If you look up Wale, Lady Gaga,
chillin'?
And watch the Chillin'. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And if you look up that music video, you'll see them go into Bodega and half the music video shot in the store. That was my whole tangent about the sliding laundromat door.
Cool.
Because I'll never forget the secret door that I walked through to go to this clothing store. And it was like the coolest thing ever.
Well, the reason I brought that up, aside from, I mean, that was just an awesome story, but the reason I brought that
Thank
up
you.
Is that when he puts the coin in and the thing goes in, Brian just looks at it and goes, cool. Like, but like, it's in a, like, I wrote down, like, cool, but like, it's in a cool way. It's just like a
cool.
It's
like the South Park, like, nice.
So this movie was written by Luc Besson, who wrote and directed directed, made, whatever, Leon the Professional. He did Lucy.
Oh, nice.
He did Valerian. He had some part to do, I don't know if he wrote the sequels or not, but he has writing credits on them in the Transporter trilogy, Taken trilogy. He did The Fifth Element.
Oh, I love
he
Taken.
Did Anna. He did Lockout. Like, this guy has made a ton of great stuff. So when I saw that in the closing credits, I was like, oh, no wonder it was, like, cool, like a good action movie, because, like, this guy knows how to craft that kind of thing.
Yes. The one last thing, there's a great quote in this movie that I really liked, and the grandfather is talking to Brian, and he looks at Brian, and he goes, revenge and justice are not the same thing. And I was like, holy shit, that's really awesome. And also, you know, Fast and Furious adjacent. We're always trying to get either revenge or justice, and they sometimes like overlap, like people are treating them the same, but they're not. They're definitely different things. So I was like, very nice quote. You said you liked this movie. I really enjoyed this movie. I think Ben made a great pick. I was very surprised. As I've said a million times over, I'm not really an action movie kind of guy. This one just hit all the right notes for me, and I was very excited about it.
It was very cool. I looked up while we were talking. The movie, it had a $28 million budget.
That's not much.
Made $20 million domestically, made $68 total worldwide, so not a huge hit.
Damn.
But it made a little bit of money, even if you double that for the marketing and stuff. Kind of mixed reviews, but it was cool. If you have not seen this one, go watch it. I don't think it's available to stream for free anywhere. You got to pay a couple bucks to watch it, but it's worth it.
Like, but it was
a cool
great.
Movie.
Highly recommended. It's like such a fun, like, nighttime movie. This would be like a great, like, you know, right after dinner, you watch something very simple. You don't have to think too hard on it.
And it's
if you
short.
Like fast enough. It's so short. This was an hour and 20 out the door, right? 125, maybe?
And like I was saying before, like it feels like it's over like an hour five, hour 10 in. Then they go to City Hall or whatever, Town Hall. And
wrap it up.
Yeah. It's breezy.
It is. But it feels right. It doesn't feel like it's rushed. It doesn't feel like they had to stretch it out at all. There's no like big gaps in it. You know what I mean? They're not adding fluff to it to like make it last longer. Like it feels like the right amount of movie. And it was comforting. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. So next week, we're going to be talking about Fast 5, continuing with Kara in the driving school lap. We are going down to Rio de Janeiro, Christ the Redeemer statue, and podcast from down there. Then, like we said, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about Ford v. Ferrari. So you got 2 weekends to go see that. Go, you know, let us know what you think of it. Christian Bale, Matt Damon, Ford v. Ferrari. And I'm looking forward to that one. That's
same.
I'm excited
it's
for
gonna
it.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to hear your take on it. They picked really great actors for it, right? Like, I like Christian Bale and Matt Damon. I think you do too, right?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Have they been things together? Like, it feels like they should have been. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say The Big Short, but that's Goss and Christian Bale. You're right. They do feel like they would have been in a movie like The Big Short, though, don't they?
And it feels like, you know, Christian Bale is sort of like, he's not in the Ocean's movies, but it feels like he could have been. Like, it's like they all kind of exist. They float around in the same kind of space.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm also excited because we're not going to reveal them until the week, the pit stop before, but every other Paul Walker movie that we're watching this lap, I have not seen yet. So I think I'm excited to see the next handful of movies that we're doing for this lap because they're all new to me, and I'm looking forward to all of them.
Oh, I thought you had seen one. I thought that one of the ones you were talking about you had seen.
You saw one. Your pick you've seen that you've been trying to get me to see forever, but I have not seen it.
Oh, God. Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
really?
Everything's new to me. Yeah. I think, so I can say that we're doing three more Paul Walker movies. We're doing four. Like, I think it's kind of like going to be like a rough-ish rule of thumb, you know, in a lap about an actor. We're probably going to do about four of their movies, four or five, like in that, about half the episodes.
Yeah.
And so of the three that are left, I think you had seen, we've both seen one of the four. I saw Brick Mansions, you saw the one that you picked. So the one that I picked, I had not seen yet. I was just looking forward to it.
I can't believe you haven't seen this movie yet. It's a great movie, so I'm really excited for you to watch it.
And if you're out there, if you're an eagle-eyed listener or eagle-eared listener, I think it'd be pretty obvious, pretty easy to figure out what Paul Walker movie Joe wanted me to watch. So we're doing down the stretch, down, you know, later in the year or early next year. I don't remember exactly when. Any other thoughts about either The Minute, I guess, or Brick Mansions before we come back next week?
No, I just want to say thanks to Ben. That was a great pick, and I'm glad that we watched it. And actually, that's a movie that I'm going to watch again. For me, that's like a good one that I could watch again. Rachel didn't watch it with me this time. I think that like I'll revisit that in a couple weeks with her and give her a watch of it.
Yeah, you can go to toofasttooforever.com to go to our Patreon and find out our next two theme or next two lap themes. You can also get the Fast and Furious Minute document over there, get some free merch and swag and our entire endless gratitude toward you. Email us family@cageclub.me and, you know, come back for Fast Five with Cara Gale Regan next lap or next episode next week. But for all things Too Fast, Too Forever, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or @TooFastTooForever on Twitter and Instagram. Email us family@cageclub.me. Come back next week for Fast Five, then get yourself to a theater to see Ford v Ferrari, and come back in 2 weeks for our next pit stop talking about that movie. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too.
And we'll see you next time right here on Too Fast, Too Forever.